Gatorback Cycle Park.
Yes.
4:22 in the afternoon. That's right. 8 o'clock. And there's a little more time. Dennis is still riding, but I've been talking to everybody. I've been learning a lot about Triumph. You know, I don't know much about Triumph coming into, you know, once they announced that they were going to join the motocross world, it was an eye-opener for me. That's when I had to start paying attention and doing my research. So it is an impressive brand. Make the longest motorcycle manufacturer, the longest running motorcycle manufacturer.
That's right.
1902.
That's right.
So for these guys to jump in the motocross world is a big jump. And then for them to sign you, obviously, is a big deal as well. But it doesn't sound like you just jumped in, took a paycheck, and put a sticker on your shirt. It seems like you were pretty in on the process.
Yeah, I was certainly in on the process for the TF line, the new line today that you guys have come here to join.
Yeah.
Yeah. It happened from my old boss, believe it or not, from Suzuki. Yeah. He left Suzuki and went to Triumph North America. And so a couple years before we knew that there was going to be this motorcycle coming out, I started riding the Triumph Tiger, their adventure bike.
Yep.
And I loved their product, right? So that's how I started to learn about Triumph.
What year was that, you think?
That was 18.
So you started, 19. And did you know that Rod was there already?
Yeah, I knew that Rod was there. We had a great relationship at Suzuki, obviously, and I was bummed when he left Suzuki. Yeah. Right? Yeah. He was a great boss, a great leader, just really great at business. And so he went to Triumph, and I was like, wow, man, that's Triumph. They got a good one.
Yeah.
So we kept in touch, and then via him, that's how we got on Tigers. And honestly, I was online one day just looking at adventure bikes, all brands. I'm like, saw the Tiger, and then that's when I told Rod, I'm like, dude, this is great. Yeah. So anyhow, I got on there, and he's like, he knew when my Suzuki deal was coming to an end. He's like, hey, before you guys, if they offer you an extension or want to redo your deal, like, talk to us first.
Yeah.
We have a project I'd like for you to maybe be a part of.
Yeah.
And here we are today.
That's cool.
Several years later.
That's cool.
And so now being an ambassador just for the adventure riding stuff, and but then stepping away from that and being part of something, building something from the ground up with such an iconic brand.
Yeah.
It was fun. I've liked it, and it came at a great time because the Suzuki deal had kind of expired, and to be something, like I said, to be a part of something from the ground up, I've never been a part of, and it came at a great time in my career. And to be able to share the knowledge, I felt like what I could bring, to be able to share the knowledge that I had learned through the inception of my career of, you know, being a two-stroke guy on steel chassis, a two-stroke guy on aluminum chassis, and then four-stroke aluminum chassis. I really got to feel it all.
Yeah.
And the important thing that, and just because it was, you know, when I was born and I came up through that certain time, was I got to go through a lot of the changings and the R&D of the aluminum chassis back in the day. I don't like to say growing pains, but I just say the learning stages of it all, and what works, what doesn't work. And now all those tricks and things that we used to do that I'm sure you know of and have heard of back in the day, all that stuff is implemented on the production side of things.
That's cool.
So nevertheless, to go back there, that's what I felt like where my value was.
Yeah.
And bringing Tedesco on as well. We were teammates at Suzuki,
Motocross of Nations.
People who don't know that. Yeah, then Motocross of Nations, and he was kind of our test pilot when we had RCH.
Nice.
And we developed a really close relationship. And then when we dissolved RCH, then he went and started doing a lot of the testing for PC.
Yep.
And he just had a wealth of knowledge. He was respected. And when I was teammates with him at Suzuki, I really appreciated his knowledge for the motorcycle. And he had a good feel.
Yeah.
You know, and he was never really like off to lunch. Like some of the people that I've been around on certain teams, you could just tell that some guys had better feels than other.
Yeah.
Like he kind of knows. And so I felt like, hey, this is one guy that, You know, I wanted him to be on the ride with me with this because I knew that I couldn't ride Supercross to the level that he could.
Yeah.
And he really embraces the position that he has.
That's cool.
Yeah, I'm like, man, we need this guy. So that's what I felt like at the end of the day, what I could bring. And it was something that I, again, wanted to be a part of from the ground up.
That's cool. What about when you think the first day was that you rode the bike?
Because yeah.
2019, May 10th, 2019 is the day they got the green light to start the project. When do you think you rode the bike?
Well, our first test, like, and it wasn't the bike. This is when we were just kind of baselining stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a couple parts, like maybe some swing arms and things of that nature. But no frames or anything. Like I said, swing arms, linkages, things of that nature. And we had baselines, Yamaha, KTM, all the brands.
Yeah.
Right? We you know how it goes.
Yeah.
And that was I think it was Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, after Daytona Supercross in 2020.
Yeah. And that was on the day.
Then I remember like we were finishing up testing Thursday at this is when I still own the goat farm, and I start getting calls from my bosses at NBC, like, hey, I know you're flying tomorrow, but things might be getting shut down here, like give us a couple hours and we'll let you know.
Yeah.
And so that was when everything shut down, so everyone was affected by that.
Of course
and put us all behind. But that was the first time that I rode anything that they had created.
That's cool.
But it wasn't the frame, just the smaller parts.
That's cool.
And the first time that I actually rode their it wasn't a production bike at the time, but close to production, was in 21, I believe it was.
Nice.
21. Nice. Yeah, 21 or 22. My mind escapes me.
That's all right.
But yeah, I rode the chassis. And it was really, really good, to the point where it's like we had one certain feel on the bike. I can't remember if Tedesco was there or not, but Cervantes was. And I we had a couple other people, like private testers with us. And I had this one feel, like, man, I couldn't tell if it was from the chassis or if it was from a component.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, So we started doing process of elimination, because obviously we can change components super easy and modify those, but we're changing the chassis, you know, and I didn't want to make it. I was hoping that the chassis was good enough that we didn't have to make a change, because I knew we were getting up against some deadlines that we wanted to hit. But if we didn't hit, then we just, you know, had to swallow the pill and prolong the
process. Yeah,
exactly. So we ended up finding out what it was, and it wasn't the chassis, thank goodness.
Really?
Yeah, so that was the first time that I rode the chassis and the frame, and it was unbelievable. You know,
cool.
They got a great group of engineers over there, and I will tell you, like, how receptive. It was so nice to see how receptive they were to just listen.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't act like they knew everything, and I'm not saying that we know everything, but we've had a lot of experience with some great people and great companies along the way. And, you know, they made the changes necessary and listened, and basically everything on that bike and when we rode it felt the way that our comments about the testing previous and what we were looking for, it was implemented on that motorcycle.
It was pretty sweet. What about, I can talk from my perspective.
Yeah. That's what, like, you guys asking me.
Well, yeah.
I want to know what you guys like about it.
Well, from my perspective, I could talk about how receptive everybody here at Triumph is to our feedback, how humbly they take it.
They're learning.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, coming into today, they didn't have an embargo for when we could release videos. I don't know if you heard about that.
No.
So they didn't have an embargo. And, you know, that makes it difficult for the video guys, because they got to crush and quick, get through the day and edit the video and post it as fast as you can. It's better to have an embargo. So now we do. We can't post any videos or reviews until tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Pacific.
So that helps our video guy relax a little bit, and it helps us, you know, have more time to just chit chat. And
then it probably gives you more time to get a true feel.
Exactly.
Especially on a new model.
Exactly. So it's better all around. But the cool part was is that I got to bring that conversation to them, and then they were like, oh, we didn't even think about that. And then they're humble enough to mention like, hey, we're new to motocross. Yeah. Like, we don't know how it works over here. And so they've taken that humbly. All of our criticism and all of our praise, they've taken it so well. So like, I could see that family aspect that, you know, I don't know about because I don't really know Triumph,
yeah.
But I know that it is family owned, yeah. And owned by the same guy for the last 35
yep.
years. And
yep.
it's even the one thing that I heard was that he doesn't take any money out of Triumph. He just continues to reinvest it because he makes his money building houses in,
yep.
in the UK. So
that's right.
So the Triumph can just keep growing on his own, on its own dime.
Yeah.
And, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. He's an exceptional person. So fun to be around. He's very humble but confident. And you know, I'm thankful for the opportunity. And I hope that the industry appreciates, you know, just you know what he's done and the investment that he's made. Not just yeah. in a lot of what manufacturers do, but yeah, I mean, this isn't no chip shot for him.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's important to him. He wants to have a great product. And to your point, I'm glad that you got to experience what you did, because yeah. that's what I experienced. Yeah. I love going to a company and being associated with a brand that where you're not just a name and a number.
Yeah.
I mean, fortunately for me, I'm in a position in my life where I'm able to pick and choose stuff like that.
Yeah.
I don't want to just be a name and a number.
Yeah.
It's to me, like, I love the personal relationship side of
yeah.
things.
Yeah. You have a unique spot where you're not just cashing a check and riding a bike and taking a photo. You're in on a you're a new family.
Really. Yeah, 100%. I absolutely love it. And when Rod had approached me, trust me, I had a lot of questions for him.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, hey, what about this? What about this? What about this?
And yeah. It's a big deal.
And he put me in front of everyone that I needed to be in front of, and they never batted an eye.
That's
you
cool.
know, and they were super receptive. And the experience that you're having now is what we have had with all of the engineers, and still to this day have that.
Mm-hmm.
They've obviously gotten, you know, they've learned a lot more. I wouldn't say as far as like their wealth of knowledge, but they learn how everything works and the feels and the wants of riders
yep.
within the industry. So it's cool. And another thing I think that is super important is a lot of the employees at Triumph, what's cool is I feel like each engineer or certain departments have touched almost every product that they have.
That's cool.
So that personal feel for the employees, like as you would know, is so important because they're part of it.
Yep. Yeah.
So they work that much harder.
Yeah.
It's good.
That's cool.
It's good. We tried to have develop the best bike that we possibly can.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's, you know, we just hope that people appreciate the work.
Dennis, jump in on this interview. Ricky, do you remember kicking Dennis's butt in 2005? Was it 2005?
Yeah, maybe Melville.
Did you go train with Ricky for summer?
No, not there, but Millville, like the Honda test.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yep, the Honda test. And then probably my biggest memory was Ricky taught me he lapped me at Millville. And he was waving to the crowd, and I was battling with good dudes in about 20 seconds. And I couldn't keep up, and you were waving to the crowd. And I'm like,
really?
Cool. I just don't have it.
Yep.
And that was pretty much how it worked out. But no, I got to go to some of the Honda tests when
yeah.
Steel City.
Yeah.
We went to that Millville and Southwick.
Yeah.
I did a bunch of those tests with you.
Yeah.
In the back. And
yeah,
that was cool.
The good old days.
Good old days.
Well, this is what we've been talking about, is like the thing that I liked and could bring the opportunity to Triumph is, and you were part of that as well. You're too young. But like growing up through the progression of the aluminum chassis and what changes affected certain things, and that all those tricks and trades that we learned in the early days are all implemented now on the production bike for the most part. So it's so hard to, you know, if you need to massage it here or there, it's so hard to, or change an engine hanger. Those things aren't as effective as they were. And from what I remember early on, you know,
it's just crazy where production bikes have come. Like, I've got to ride lots of factory bikes over the years. And like we talked about before we got here, and factory bikes from Ricky's day aren't better than production bikes.
No. It's crazy. Like today, us riding brand new, this motorcycle developed from the ground up, as you guys know.
Yeah.
The TF250X. And it is, I mean, you ride it. And I don't ride to the level that I did when I was, a professional athlete, but it's still, I enjoy riding it. Like, I'm like, I don't really need much more than this.
Yeah.
Now, back in the day, it wasn't like that with production bikes, but I think at progression, that's in any industry.
Wasn't there a summer that you rode at Ricky's house?
I went out at...
That's right.
I went out with Gosler.
Yeah.
And Walker was there.
Yeah.
And Brown.
Yeah.
Did you have to pull weeds or something?
Yeah, I had to pull weeds. Jeannie made me pull some weeds. Don't blow berms out.
That's really? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I was a
Berminator.
Yeah, I was a Berminator.
Dude, you don't get to come to my track and blow my berms out and screw up my lap times. So, yeah, that's like, that's it. That's your first ticket to pulling weeds.
I was pulling weeds that year. Mike Gosler lined all that up.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mike. Because I drove out.
Yeah.
And Chris definitely wasn't going to drive. So,
this is great. This is a blast from the past. I love it.
Yeah, I got to pull lots of weeds. I actually rode really good. My first national I went to after at the house, I scored points both motos, which I never had done. And then I rapidly got worse because I wasn't in shape when I showed up.
Yeah.
And then you go to the go farm with
Ricky all day.
We'll
kill you and you won't have any energy on the weekend, maybe.
Yep, and riding at his house in the mud and still having to do all the jumps is a whole nother level.
Yeah.
And I also bent my bars one day, and his mom made me keep riding all day with my bent handlebars.
Sorry, dude.
Yeah, that's
sometimes you're the hammer, sometimes you're the nail.
Right.
Yeah, it's hard being the slowest in the group, but...
You know what's sad is, like, if you're the slowest in the group there at the time... You get picked on. You get hazed all the time. So.
Yeah, never been the same.
Well, he was the slowest, and he was blowing the berms out.
That's a double whammy.
Double whammy. But now that I'm older and you can look back and have memories and laugh and, you know, like, it was a solid group, and everybody at that time for that short window all put in effort, and it was fun, and, you know.
You know, so it's funny. You guys are great at what you do, and... You know, you work for an incredible company, and like everyone is, you guys want to know what I think of the bike and like what the process was. I mean, I think a lot of you guys know what the process was, and most of the people listening and watching your content, you know, know the process by now. And is it what you expected?
It's better than I expected.
Is it?
What about you?
Yeah, definitely better than I expected. It's more organized, right? It's hard to believe, but we just did a 50th anniversary Honda 450 last year, and they've been at it that long.
Yeah.
So you guys learned, listened, paid attention. You came in strong.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's always a couple things like the embargo thing or just some things that you could work on.
Yeah, yeah.
But bike was really good.
Yeah, bike.
Today.
Yeah. And when it comes to the embargo, just so you guys know, like that stuff, that's out of my jurisdiction. Yeah, yeah. So it's like, that's not there. Yeah.
But like a quick shift. That's hasn't been around that long.
Yeah.
And there's only one company doing it. And the quick shift's really good on this bike.
Yeah.
So that's impressive. Right. The balance is pretty good.
Yeah.
Obviously, you could.
Listen, there's personal preference. For me, you know, like if this thing likes 100mm sag, I personally like a little bit higher.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, now back in the day, I was completely opposite. But what we worked hard on is for it to feel like its own brand.
Yeah.
You know, and it to be somewhat neutral. It felt like if we could get it there and it not be like, and with the aluminum chassis, it being not rigid and have a good feel for the consumer, we felt like that would be important for the people purchasing the motorcycle. So, and we knew that it would just complement the race teams as well. We felt like that. And so that's what we were gunning for the people that don't know about the process and people watching your guys' stuff is like, that when we were testing that, that's what we were looking for is how can we make this thing as stable as possible, but it doesn't do anything crazy. It's predictable. You know, it's not super rigid. And I think from anyone, like if you have just a person that's only able to ride on the weekends and they go out to some track that's super hard pack and can't ride and put a load on the bike, I didn't want them to have and a bad feeling, you know, or there'd be like recoil from the chassis or whatever it might be. It needed to be compliant, but it also needed to have, it needed to hold up for the professionals and riders as good as you guys. So that's what we tried to accomplish, and that's what we hope people appreciate.
Cool. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
Good luck.
All right. Well, I'm glad you guys enjoyed it.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. You bet. Thank you.
Cool.